From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Scientists have found further evidence that the gut, or more specifically, the appendix, might play a role in the development of Parkinson's disease. So many things to talk about. Up next, Ben Fuchs from CriticalHealthNews.com will join us. Let me give you that toll-free number to call for assistance, 1-855-949-RADIO, 1-855-949-RADIO. 1-855-949-7234, and the website again, criticalhealthnews.com. Ben Fuchs with us next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. Pharmacist Ben back with us from CriticalHealthNews.com. Don't forget to download their free apps, by the way, in your app store. Just put in there CriticalHealthNews.com. Ben Fuchs is a registered pharmacist, nutritionist, cosmetic chemist as well, spokesperson for CriticalHealthNews.com with Doc Wallach. And we will be taking your calls in just a moment and then next hour as well. Ben, welcome back, my friend.
Good to talk to you again, George.
How was your Halloween?
It was spooktacular. No, it's terrible. I'm sorry I said that. It was good, though. I had a good time. I like Halloween.
Okay. Now, tell me a little bit about what's new with you these days.
Well, it's new with me. I'm just doing the same old thing, but there's a lot of new stuff in the news. I love that article you sent me about Parkinson's disease. You immediately thought of me when you read that, right?
I did.
I know. I like that because I've been talking about that for decades, the importance of the gut, the relationship between gut health and the rest of the body. For the listeners, that article is on Parkinson's disease and the gut. And we must have talked about that a dozen times in the 3.5 years I've been on, the relationship of Parkinson's disease to digestive health. To me, it is so tragic when I see people with brain, with all health issues, but especially brain health issues, George, because there's literally zero, nothing, not even symptomatically, that doctors can do for things like dementia and Parkinson's disease and Huntington's disease and these issues that are manifestations of brain deterioration. But when you read an article like that, it just hits home how much power we have over how our bodies and how our brains show up, over how much power we have over our health. It's just, it's tragic on the one hand because you see people suffer, but it's so inspiring on the other hand that the body has this innate ability to heal itself.
So I took your suggestion and tried chicken bone broth.
You made it?
I didn't make it. I bought it in a carton.
Okay.
It was horrible tasting.
Oh. No.
It was awful.
It wasn't done right. It's not. You don't like chicken soup, George. Come on.
Oh, chicken soup is great.
That's the same thing.
But this bone broth soup that I tried in this carton,
yeah,
just was blah and just,
yeah,
I didn't like it.
You got to make it yourself. It's like Campbell's versus Mom's chicken soup. Nobody doesn't like chicken soup. And the reason nobody doesn't like chicken soup is because the brain and the body, but especially the brain, naturally crave the components that are in soups. You know, do you ever walk into a room and you smell like broth or that savory smell coming out?
Yeah,
that
absolutely.
Savory smell contains molecules that the brain absolutely loves. In fact, they mimic those savory molecules to create things like MSG, which is really an imitation of a savory molecule. The Japanese call the savory molecule the savory taste, umami. I used to tell you there were four tastes. There were sweet, salt, bitter, and sour. Sweet, salt, bitter, and sour. But now there's a fifth taste called umami, and that's the taste of savoriness. And the brain loves savoriness, and it's thought that in our evolutionary past, when we started to cook meat, that's when we really started to develop neurologically. And so we have this, we're the descendants of ancestors who learned to crave the smell of stews and soups, things that are called savoriness. And really, it's amino acids, building blocks for the body, and especially building blocks for the brain that we're craving. I'm surprised that they must have really ruined that soup.
I tell you what, I'm not going to go back to it, that's for sure. Not at least that one.
Has to be fresh. You can make your own, George. You like to cook, right?
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, you just braise some veggies. Yeah, here's a great recipe. Just braise some veggies, onions and garlic, in the bottom of a pan. You top it off with water, throw a rotisserie chicken in that's already cooked. You get it at Whole Foods. You got to make sure it's a good bird, though. It's got a clean, organic bird. Drop it in and then slow cook it for 12 hours, 24 hours, 36 hours. Right before you're going to eat it, throw in some carrots and some tomatoes, maybe a half hour, 45 minutes before you're going to eat it. Throw in some root vegetables. spice it up real good. It is so delicious. The meat will fall off the bones. Great source of protein. Amazing for the immune system and for the skeletal system. It is, George, it may be nature's most powerful food, good old chicken soup.
Pharmacist Ben Fuchs with us, criticalhealthnews.com. Go to their website, shut it down, crash it, do whatever you can. 1-855-949-7234 is the toll-free number to call. You won't be back with us until after Thanksgiving, so any tips for the Thanksgiving meal?
Yeah, lots of tips. Use pumpkin at the beginning of your meal. Here's a good tip for you. If you don't want to overeat, maybe people might want to overeat, but if you don't want to overeat.
Might on Thanksgiving. At least once a year you can do that.
Yeah, I know.
Right?
I shouldn't say that. But if you don't, for those you don't want to overeat, start off your meal with pumpkin. If you start off your meal with pumpkin puree, anything with pumpkin puree, it'll fill you up. The fiber, pumpkin's got is a wonderful source of fiber, and pumpkin is also very low calorie, and plus it's great in nutrients. So start your meal off with pumpkin and or pumpkin puree or something that has pumpkin puree, and you'll end up eating a lot less food. And I know what you're saying, George. That might be the one time of year when people get to indulge. But if you don't want to, that's a great strategy.
The turkey's the great. I mean, that turkey and mashed potatoes, one of my favorite meals ever.
Turkey is pretty amazing. If you're not a vegetarian or vegan, turkey is an amazing source of nutrition, protein, low fat. And if it's cooked right, it could be quite helpful. But the best part of the turkey is going to be, as we were talking about, is the bones. So save that carcass and it makes a great turkey soup.
It wasn't until a few years ago, Ben, that I learned about tryptophan, which is in the turkey, which is a natural sleeping ingredient.
Exactly.
I always wondered why. I always wondered why at our house in Detroit, when my mom would cook a Thanksgiving meal and all our relatives would come over, all the elders were asleep on the couch. After we ate, all of them.
Tryptophan.
It got them all, but how come it didn't get we young folks?
With all the energy, you were bouncing off the walls when you were a young person.
Sure. But we did sleep well once we went to bed.
You know what else is a great source of tryptophan? Bananas.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, in fact, bananas have more tryptophan than turkey.
So is it good to eat a banana in the morning when you're getting ready for work?
Maybe not. It's not like tryptophan's a sleeping pill or anything, but it tends to relax you. But before you go to bed, you might want to think about a little bit of banana, small amounts, because the sugar in there will counteract the tryptophan, but small amounts might help.
I got some emails in here for you, and we'll take calls at the half and next hour as well, Ben, from Bill in Tallahassee, Florida. And he says, I think I'm losing my vision. What can I do? Now, that's pretty broad. He's not specific.
You know, that's very interesting, George, because, yes, that's true. That's broad. But the thing about the body is, and this is one of the main messages I want people to understand when it comes to health, is the body deteriorates generically. So losing your eyesight is like the eye's version of Alzheimer's disease. Or you could say Alzheimer's disease is the brain's version of blindness. Or Alzheimer's disease is arthritis is the joints version of Alzheimer's disease. It's just deterioration of the body. So we want to get away from this idea that it's an eye problem or a brain problem or a joint problem or a digestive tract problem. It's a deterioration problem. If you go to the World Health Organization's website, they'll tell you there's 12,800 different diagnoses. Well, you know what? There's not 800 different ways the body falls apart. There's just the body falling apart. I call it MBFA disease. My body is falling apart disease. It's the only disease there is, George. The body falls apart. And when we understand that, we'll understand there's a generic nature to the body's breakdown and a generic nature to disease, there is a generic nature to healing. And this is so important to understand. And this generic nature of healing is accurate and true and valid because it's in the body's nature to heal. Even as we're sitting here talking to each other, George, our body is repairing itself. Our skin is repairing itself. Our bone is repairing itself. Our blood vessels are repairing itself. The body is in this constant state of flux where it's breaking down and building up and breaking down and building up. It's always building up and breaking down. It's just that when we're sick, it's breaking down faster than it's building up, but it's still building up. So it's in the body's nature to heal, to renew, to regenerate, and what we just have to do is we have to support that built-in renewing system, and that's where nutrition comes in, and that's where supplements come in, And that's where all the health strategies we talk about, lowering your blood sugar, strengthening your digestive system, and, of course, leveraging spirituality and your mental and emotional natures. And, George, if you do those simple steps, there is not a single, not a single chronic degenerative disease that will not begin to reverse itself. And this is the most powerful message anybody who's dealing with a crisis, a health challenge, can hear. Now, whether you completely eliminate it or not, it's a matter of time and it's a matter of vigilance, how diligent you are with the process. But you can improve your condition and you can improve it today. You can improve it quickly by leveraging and taking advantage of these simple generic steps.
How long does it take normally for a bruise, a bump-type bruise, to go away and heal?
Well, depends on how deep it is, depends on nutritional status, it depends on how fragile or how strong the tissue is. But it begins to heal, George, as soon as the wound takes place, as soon as the tissue is wounded, that's when the healing process begins. That is so cool. That fast, instantly. In fact, the swelling and the inflammation and the pain, they're the manifestation of the healing process. It's the beginnings of the healing process. And when we take an anti-inflammatory drug, which many are the best-selling drugs, among the best-selling drugs, guess what we do? We shut down the healing process.
That's right.
The inflammatory chemistry is the first stage of healing. So you take your Motrin or your Naprosyn or your Advil or your aspirin, whatever it is, and you're suppressing the healing process. You keep healing from occurring, which, of course, means you stay on the drug. This is why anti-inflammatories are among the most toxic of all drugs. They suppress healing.
How about fevers? Aren't fevers generally good for you?
Exactly. Same idea. A fever is part of the body's healing process. See, somewhere along the road, George, we lost respect for the human body. Somewhere probably in the Middle Ages and the High Middle Ages, we lost the understanding that the body has all of these mechanisms for a reason, that the body is the most intricate and highly advanced machine on the planet, in the universe, perhaps, and we somehow along the way lost respect for that.
Well, you and Doc Wallach, Ben, help get that machine working again. CriticalHealthNews.com, that's the website, the toll-free number to call where people are there right now to give you some tips. 1-855-949-RADIO, 1-855-949-7234. Up next, we open up the phone lines and next hour as well with pharmacist Ben Fuchs from CriticalHealthNews.com. Everett, Washington, Saturday, March 23rd. We are going back there to return to Everett with our live stage show. A couple of the guests will be Peter Davenport from the National UFO Reporting Center, Johnny Enoch, the esoteric researcher. He's really cool. John Hogue and so many others. And we'll have a live meet and greet, a band, and it's just a great event. I really look forward to it. Tickets available, of course, by going to coasttocoastam.com. Upper hand there, click on the events or the carousel, the highlight reel. You'll find the link to the historic Everett Theater. They pop up. And if you don't have a computer, that's okay. Here's a regular number for you. It's not toll-free, sorry. 425-258-6766. 425-258-6766. And welcome back to Coast. We will get your calls and next hour as well with pharmacist Ben from CriticalHealthNews.com. Ben, since we've been doing this, which has been several years now, I've been getting amazing emails from people or when I'm at live events and they come up to me to thank me for putting you on and Doc Wallach. And I got to tell you, even though we broaden this to so many people, that one person that comes up to you kind of makes your whole day, doesn't it?
George, that's why I do this. That's why Doc does it. We get fueled by it. You know, you hear it one time, and you're right, that happens. We hear it so many times. It's like rocket fuel. It keeps you going. It gets you up in the morning doing your presentations and talking to people on the phone. I talk to people on the phone all the time. We answer letters. Send letters, by the way, I should mention, info at criticalhealthnews.com. If you don't want to get on the phone or you can't get on the phone, send a letter to info at criticalhealthnews.com. It brings you... It's unspeakable the kind of pleasure that you get, the joy that you get from helping people at this fundamental level, the level of health, at helping people turn these things around. It's not us that's doing it. It's not Doc or myself that's doing it. We're just sharing the information. It's the human body that's doing it, which is what we were talking about before we went to the break. The human body has this miraculous innate healing capability that we are not taught how to leverage, that we are not taught how to take advantage of. In fact, we're taught that it doesn't even that's airy-fairy, that's not true. But, you know, George, there's something in the world of pharmacy and in the world of pharmacology and the world of pharmaceuticals that nobody ever talks about, but it's very, very important to understand. It's called the placebo effect.
Yes.
Right? Now, what does that tell you, the placebo effect? You
mind over matter.
Exactly, George. Yeah. Exactly. Or the nocebo effect, which is the negative version of the placebo effect, the witch doctor effect. Doctors, unfortunately, will do that. They'll say you only have 3 months to live or 2 weeks to live or, you know, there's nothing you can do. That's called the nocebo effect, and we end up believing what the medical authority tells us. The fact of the matter is that the power of the body to heal itself is so memorialized in the literature by scientists, not in airy-fairy New Age hippies, but by hardcore scientists, that the placebo effect has to be filtered out when they test drugs, because it'll affect the results. If somebody believes that the drug they're taking is a medicine that's going to help them, it'll help them. So we need to, instead of eliminating the placebo effect, George, instead of trying to eradicate it, we should be taking advantage of it. We should be using it. And not just in terms of our mind and in terms of our thoughts and our feelings, but also in terms of the foods that we eat, the supplements that we take. There are so many ways to stay healthy. There are so many ways to get healthy that have nothing to do with the medical model, and that's what we want to be exploring and diving into.
Would you say, Ben, that almost everyone, in spite of age, has something wrong with them medically? Is that a pretty accurate statement?
I wouldn't say medically, but I would say yes in terms of health. Because look at the water we're drinking, George. You know, look at the air we're breathing. You know, how about the electromagnetic pollution that only came about 120 years ago? 120 years ago or 130 years ago, there was no electromagnetics, or at least not in to the degree that we have today.
Right.
We're now swimming in an electromagnetic pool, an electromagnetic ocean that didn't exist 130 years ago, of course it's going to have an effect on the body. Of course it's going to add up. So the idea is not to eliminate disease or eliminate deterioration of the body. It's to slow it down so that you can have an effective, strong, powerful life and age gracefully. And that's really what it's about. Aging's going to happen, but you don't want to be in a walker, and you don't want to be in a wheelchair, and you don't want to be crippled, and you don't want.
No, you want a quality.
You want exactly, George. And it's not about not aging. It's not about not having anything wrong with you. It's about aging and going into a chronological year aging process gracefully. So you're maybe chronologically aging at a certain pace, but you're biologically aging at a much slower pace.
Ben Fuchs with us, criticalhealthnews.com. Ben, did you hear about that horrible story in France where babies are being born without limbs? Horrible story.
It's heartbreaking, absolutely heartbreaking.
And we're not talking about those thalidomide babies who were born with those small flipper-type hands because of that drug. They don't know what's happening in France. They have no idea what it is.
Well, you know, babies, the human body does one thing very, very well, and that's make babies, make healthy babies, if it has everything it needs. You know, Doc's been famous for saying there's no genetic diseases, and what he means is that the genes themselves that produce the limbs inside the womb, that produce the baby's body, are dependent on nutrition, so that while if a mom is malnourished as she's developing a baby, the genes will be defective, and that's where these so-called genetic diseases come from. The human body knows how to make babies. It knows how to make babies really, really well. That's one thing it does incredibly, incredibly well, but it doesn't have to have the raw materials it needs to do its work. Now, you can't tell me that they're not going to find that there's some toxicity that's going on, or there's some nutritional deficiencies that's going on, there's something in the food that these moms are eating, because that doesn't happen. babies are made, if the body has everything it needs, babies are made just fine, and they've been made just fine for hundreds of thousands, if not millions.
So something is altering this situation
exactly.
in France or wherever these things happen.
It could
happen.
Be something in the water, you know, it could be something in food, it could be something, something that's missing out of the food, a nutritional deficiency. But no, babies are made perfectly well when the body has everything.
Well, whatever it is, the probably the woman, but it could be the man too. They're sharing similar things somehow. They've got to be able to, you know, let's say interview the parents and find out where these similarities are with the
yeah.
other parents.
Yeah, I mean, just pesticides. You know, there's a lot of wine.
Yeah.
There's grapes are one of the most pesticide-rich forms of produce that there are. In fact, there's a big problem with multiple sclerosis and breast cancer in wine country, in Napa. You know, have very high rates of these kinds of diseases, and a lot of it could do with pesticides. That's another major source of toxicity in our environment is glyphosate and other pesticides.
All right, let's go to the phones now for you. Ernie is truck driving in our old state of Michigan. Go ahead, Ernie.
Hey, Ernie.
Hello, George. Hello, pharmacist Ben. I'm still listening, George, but I haven't called in quite a while.
That's okay. And good to have you
so
with us.
I've been type 2 diabetic for about 15 years, and the doctor keeps giving me these pills, and, you know, he hasn't come up with a cure yet, but now I'm getting, like, neuropathy in my feet.
Oh, no.
It feels like my socks are wadded up under my toes, so I was wondering what I could do about that.
All right, here's some tips, and again, I'll give you a toll-free number, Ernie, if you miss some of the information that Ben Fuchs gives you, but go ahead, Ben.
Okay, so first of all, there's the nutritional supplement angle. Diabetes, by the way, is the leading cause of death, and it's technically the third leading cause of death, but because of its relationship to cancer and heart disease, which are the first two leading causes of death, I say diabetes is the third leading cause, is the first leading cause of death. So it's extremely important to take care of, number one. And number two, it's extremely easy to take care of without medicine. The fact of the matter is there's no medicine that can take care of it. It is strictly a matter of the kind of foods you eat. And by the way, there's no such thing as diabetes. There's diabetes-ing. You have to put an ing, at the end of the word, of the name of your disease, at the end of your diagnosis, to show that it is a process. Diseases are verbs, as, by the way, the body itself is a verb. But the fact that diseases are verbs mean that we have control over it. When we nominalize or name something, we make it into a noun, all of a sudden it becomes a thing that we have. Like we have a tumor, like we have something stuck on us. Diabetes is not something that's stuck on us. It is the result of how we are living our lives. So the first thing you want to do is you want to get control of how you live your life. And it's not just for Ernest. It's for everybody out there dealing with any kind of health challenge. There's going to be a blood sugar problem underneath it. So first of all, you've got to get the food thing under control. Eating less calories is a very important strategy. The ketogenic diet is a high-fat, low-carbohydrate, low-calorie diet that can be very helpful. Drinking water after your meals, especially if you go off the wagon, can be very helpful for keeping blood sugar down, especially first thing in the morning, too, because blood sugar tends to be concentrated first thing in the morning. And then getting on some powerful nutritional supplements that should be in the food. They're not in the food, and the only way for you to get them is going to be to, at least in the right amounts, is going to be to supplement. Get on the Healthy Start Pack number one. That's the Mighty 90 Essential Nutrients. That's the basics. That's the building. That's the core of all of the building nutrients. Then use niacin, one of the all-time great nutritional supplements. Get on the Ultimate Niacin. Call Longevity or Critical Health News. Ask them for the Ultimate Niacin. Ask them for the Ultimate Selenium, and ask them for the Sweet Ease. And then, last but most certainly not least, moving your body helps your muscles use glucose. And it's a great way to lower blood sugar, especially after you eat meals. It's extremely easy to do. You can notice changes in your blood sugar, drops in your blood sugar within days significantly.
And this number again, Ernie, just remember it. It's easy, 1-855. It's toll-free, 1-855-949-RADIO. That's all you have to worry about. and that picks up those information for you, and you're on your way. Longevity is also getting into the hemp and CBD oils.
Oh, my gosh, George.
Huge.
By the way, CBD is also great. It's turning out to be a great way to lower your blood sugar. CBD is a component in the hemp plant, and it's not the marijuana thing, by the way. A lot of folks are confused between marijuana and hemp and CBD. Marijuana gets you high, and the reason it gets you high, it contains a cannabinoid, which is a kind of chemical that's found in these two plants, mm-hmm. the hemp plant and the marijuana plant. Marijuana contains THC. Most people have heard of that by now. THC is what gets you stoned. But hemp contains CBD, and CBD doesn't get you stoned, but it has some amazing health benefits, especially for pain and neuropathy. In fact, the drug company just received FDA approval for CBD, the same stuff that we have at the Hemp FX that you get from Longevity, the same exact stuff for epilepsy, because CBD is incredible for seizure disorders and for epilepsy and for pain and for depression and for anxiety and as a sleep aid. I mean, it's so amazing what this stuff does. That's found in the hemp plant, George, just grows out of the ground, just like a weed, which it is. Isn't it amazing how much medicine is in these things we call weeds?
Oh, my gosh. Sure is.
It's mind-blowing.
Especially. Thomas in La Jolla, California is with us. Go ahead, Thomas.
Hi, George. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
By the way, a great ghost-to-ghost show last
night. Oh, I had so much fun with that one.
I truly appreciate it.
Did you hear my mother's story about me dressed up as Zorro?
Yeah. Yeah.
I
you know, that
one.
Was my favorite character, you know, when I was a child, too, was Zorro. And, Pharmacist Ben, thank you for everything that you do and
thank
for
you.
Longevity. My question is about intestinal health and gluten. Doc Wallach recommends not consuming wheat, barley, rye, or oats. But here on the West Coast, there's many, many other grains that are offered, like through the Asian markets, etc. And I was wondering if you'd quickly say yay or nay.
Well, I'll tell you what. Grains in general contain elements, compounds, proteins that the human body is not supposed to be eating, that no animal is supposed to be eating. These are chemical defenses for the grains. Grains are seeds, and nature doesn't want its seeds being eaten. So it has loaded seeds up with molecules or chemicals that punish the intrepid eater of those seeds. And it's not just the barley, rye, oat, and wheat. Corn can be a problem. Spelt can be a problem. Even quinoa can be a problem. You have to go by how you respond to those foods. If you don't feel good after you eat a food, it's a problem for you. I don't like having just broad categories and classes of things that you should eat or shouldn't eat. You got to go by your own responses to the specific foods. That having been said, grains are incredibly problematic until they become sprouted. And once you sprout a grain, it goes from being a very problematic food to one of nature's most effective, most powerful foods.
Mm-hmm.
So by sprouting a grain, now you're talking. Now you've got the life force that's released out of that seed, and the life force shows up in things like amino acids and vitamins and fatty acids that are incredibly nutritionally valuable. So if you want to do grains, make sure you sprout your grains first. And sprouts, bean sprouts and grain sprouts and broccoli sprouts are among nature's most powerful foods. But grains in general are best avoided as a general rule, but it's always a good idea because grains do have wonderful things in them. Make no mistake about it. There's great nutrients in grains, but you got to see how you respond to them specifically.
Follow-up question there, Tom?
Yeah, I was speaking about sprouting. Should we say if we're making rice, should we soak our rice?
Yes. Exactly.
Okay, how long? Like 24 hours?
You don't have to do 24 hours, but you'll know. You'll become soft, and you can tell when you soak a grain. And also soaking nuts is also helpful. Nuts are also a problematic food.
You're saying soak it before you boil it?
Soak it. But the rice you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can soak it before you're boiling it. Absolutely, you can soak any grain. But the nuts are another, we have this idea that nuts are somehow a valuable food, and that's not necessarily the case. A lot of people have problems with nuts, but when you soak your nuts, or your beans also, that's another one, you can get rid of a lot of the compounds that are problematic.
We're going to take Texan tweaks, of course. We'll start that next hour again that Tom is assembling. Pharmacist Ben Fuchs with us from criticalhealthnews.com. Again, that toll-free number to call because we give out a lot of information and you might miss it. Always, by the way, when you're listening to Doc Wallach or Ben Fuchs, if you can, have some paper and a pen with you close by just to take some notes. But the toll-free number is 1-855-949-7234, 1-855-949-RADIO. Last month, we had record phone calls on this toll-free number. They send me a report the next day or two later, and it is just amazing how many people are calling for health and health information. Ben, it's got to be satisfying, isn't it?
Very satisfying. You know, what you said is so interesting to me because as many people as are responding, it's still a sliver of the people who are out there who are suffering with health challenges or who are on prescription drugs and don't know how to get off it and want to get off of it. So I highly encourage folks to contact Youngevity, contact the Critical Health News folks. We love talking to people. Email us.
And you folks are the best. You're the best. We're going to come back. Final hour to go with Ben Fuchs and your phone calls.